Welcome everybody to StudioHockey.com. We are for the first time live on Facebook, and the topic of today is we go behind the mask, because we've got some world-class goalies who are in our show today. The idea was to have three goalies on the show: Pirmin Blaak from Oranje Rood and from the Netherlands, David Hart from Ireland and from Kampong, and Tobias Walter from Germany and from Dragon in Belgium since recently. But Pirmin is having some troubles logging in, so we hope that he can join us during the show. But meanwhile, we've got these guys who are live with us, so very happy with you guys. Guys, let's start. First question. They say all goalies are crazy. Are you crazy? Why did you become a goalie, Tobias?
I think some goalkeepers are crazy. In my turn, I'm crazy as well, I think. And I became a goalie when I was 6, because my father is still a goalkeeper, playing for a third men's team in Germany, and he was my big. I became a goalkeeper.
Perfect. David, are you crazy?
I think I'm more on the normal side of the goalkeeping aspect, but then again, I think if anybody asks what you do for a living and you stand in front of a ball that's being hit over 120 kilometers an hour at you, you would have to say you are a little bit crazy, all right? I got into goalkeeping when I was about, I only started hockey about when I was 12 or 13, so a bit later than normal, and didn't like all the technical skills, outfield or the running around, and thought, right, we'll give goalkeeping a go. I played lots of different sports, from racket sports to football, and had decent hand-to-eye coordination, so thought, try use a transfer of all the different skills and put it together for hockey goalkeeping, and so far, so good.
Can you tell me, guys, what was your first club, and at what age did you become a goalie? Tobias.
Yeah, I became a goalkeeper when I was 6, and I raced in a really, really small club southwest of Germany called Frank. In the 60s, 70s, they were a really, really good team in indoor hockey, and I played my whole youth there till I was allowed to play adult hockey. Really, really tiny city.
Okay, how did you came to what were the clubs and what were the different phases in your career to the place where you are now, to get to Dragons?
Yeah, I started in Frankenthal, little tiny city, and then when I was 17 and was allowed to play senior hockey, I moved to another club next door called Dürkheim. They are really famous for their indoor skills as well, in the early 90s. And afterwards, I moved to Mannheim. Probably everyone knows it now in international hockey. Played there for 3 years. Become German. After 3 years there, I moved to Havestehude in Hamburg, which was one of probably my best times I've ever had in hockey. And yeah, after 6 years in Hamburg, I decided to do another step and move forward, try to improve myself and develop, and so I moved to Belgium.
Okay, David, what was your road to Kampong and to Ireland?
Quite a roundabout journey as well, you'll say. First ever club started, I think, was about 15 years old, possibly. Just before that, I played at school level and joined a small club up in Cork, where I'm from, the city in Ireland. Cork Harlequins is the name of the club. From there, I went to university for 4 years in Dublin and played for a different team called Pembroke Wanderers, who would have you would have seen in and out of the Euro Hockey League. Yeah. And then after that, had finished up my four-year study at university, and I wasn't looking like I was going to have the opportunity to play abroad in Europe, but then got asked to go play for Stichter, SAAC in the Netherlands. Played there for 2 seasons, side by side with my twin brother. And in my 3rd year in the Netherlands, I moved to Kampong. And yeah, this year now, starting on Sunday with the new season begins, it will be my 7th year and 9th year in total in the Netherlands. So yeah, and was lucky enough as the years went through within the Irish setup to receive my first cap when I was just 18 in 2006.
Were you ever in all those years, were you a second goalie in the team you were playing? And how did you deal with that, David?
As I was going through the different phases in Ireland, I would have been the second goalkeeper at school level, second goalkeeper at the beginning of provincial level. And then as I went to the club that I mentioned, Pembroke Wanderers in Dublin, there was three or four goalkeepers of really good quality and ability at the time. So it would have actually made the best learning environment for me. I didn't go in there expecting ever to be the first goalkeeper, although all goalkeepers will have that in the back of their mind, that that's their goal and their aim to become the first goalkeeper. Then within the national setup, it just so happened that there was quite a few retirements. They weren't really supposed to be at that time, and that's just how it worked out, that then myself and a couple of other younger goalkeepers at the time got an opportunity to be involved in the senior setup, and really just went from there.
Okay. Tobias, were you ever the second goalie in your team?
Not really in club side, but during my time in the national team, under 16, under 18, under 21s. For example, during Junior World Cup 2009, I was second goalkeeper. As you know, it's not always easy to handle it, but I was comfortable with that because I was a really young age in this team. And also during Olympics in Rio, I was the unlucky part of the second goalkeeper.
Ouch.
Was it's always really nice experience, and I fought through that, and after Rio I became first goalkeeper, and now I'm trying to stay there.
Okay, perfect. Guys, we already got our first question from the people who are watching the show. So we've got a new teammate from Tobias, Luke Noblet.
He's just in the next room. We're listening.
Probably. Well, that's his question. Tobias, how are you finding your two new housemates at Dragons?
My two housemates are really cool, right? They're just here for one more week in my room. Then my girlfriend is moving here, and they have their own house where they live in.
Perfect. Okay, Tobias, what is the reason that you made to move to Dragons?
Yeah, as I already told, I played 6 years in Hamburg at Harvest Sehuda. Had a really, really great time there. Won quite a lot of titles with them. Also EHL and German Championship, indoor, outdoor. And now I decided to make a new step, try something new. I've never been abroad, so... and Dragons is a really good club, so I want to try that.
Were other clubs in the picture, or did you just want to go abroad, or did you want to specifically go to Dragon?
Yeah, as I heard that they're looking for a goalkeeper, I was really interested. I already played against Dragons in EHL. Wasn't the best game of Harvest Sehuda. We lost 6-2, I think, in the KO16. And I knew some guys from the team already, so it was easy to think about that I can play there, and I made the decision quite quickly then.
David, what was the exact reason why you went to Kampong? You were already in Holland playing nearby in Stichtse. What was the reason that you went for Kampong?
Main decision was that I had wanted another challenge after two seasons at Stichtse. I think we had finished 7th in the league and 9th in the league, and I really had a goal in my mind that I wanted to be involved in the playoffs. So I took a small little journey over to watch Kampong, who had reached the playoffs, I think, for the first time possibly ever in their history or something along those lines, or in many, many years anyway. And I sat in the stands and watched that game and really loved the atmosphere and the environment around it, and thought to myself, yeah, this would be a fantastic club to play at. Had heard rumors that the goalkeeper at the time might have been moving on to a different club and saw an opportunity. So got in touch myself with the coach at the time, Alexander Cox, to see if there was something that was a possibility or an availability for me to go and do so.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I think it's clear that you made the right choice. Since then became a Dutch champion, you've became an EHL champion, and you're gearing up for yet another season that is about to start. What are your expectations for the season to come with Kampong?
I think the expectations, anytime you play with a team like Kampong, whether it's from an external point of view, everyone will obviously have high expectations to continue on what we've done over the last 3, 4, 5 years. I think knowing that we've lost quite a bit of experience with a good few friends of mine, what I like to call the 30 club. So all the guys of all that kind of generation and era have all moved on and retired. So I am going to be the oldest player on the team this year.
Ouch.
So that's a first for me. But I think just having been involved with the group now the last week since I've come back from a brief holiday, just to see the youth that's coming through, it's a really a high standard. I'm very impressed by it. We had quite a successful ABN AMRO Cup tournament only last weekend, and I know it's still only a preparation tournament, but I was still impressed how we played as a unit, as a group, and as a team. And yeah, just really looking forward to starting on Sunday.
Perfect, perfect. Tobias, what are your ambitions with Dragon this season? You've got quite a new team. Well, Dragon has got quite a new team and a lot of new players. So what are your ambitions?
I think we need to have a look. We're really ambitious. But as you said, lots of players left the club after last season. And now lots of internationals are there, like Luke Noblet, Dominic Uwe from Austria, and Koen Backhaus from HGC. And yeah, we try to find ourselves as a team and try to make the best out of the season.
Perfect. You already had a couple of practice games. Last night you played a game which ended in a 2-2 draw, where you almost kicked my son out of the game. Not good. But how is the practice going? How are the practice games going?
Yeah, practice games good. We are not complete at all in the team. For example, Shane O'Donoghue is missing. He's arriving today. He will join us tomorrow for the next game against Heracles. And yeah, the practice games are going good. Yesterday, 2-2. But I think we could have won, actually. Did a few mistakes in the last minutes. And yeah, but it's going well.
Perfect, perfect. Let me just see. What do you think? Is there a difference in your preparations with the German club that you're experiencing now in Belgium?
It's everything. It's a bit different. In Germany, you have you train every day together with, for example, your athletic coach. Or in Belgium, you don't do that. You get your program from the coach, and they wanted you to do it. If you don't do it, you're not fit enough to play in the team. And they really trust you and want to improve yourself and handle it on your own. And in Germany, you do everything with a coach together. It's really different. But I'm really fine with that. And also the hockey training is really good, high intensity, and really good quality as well.
Perfect, perfect. David, what were your experiences when you moved to Holland? How different is the preparation to a season? How different are the trainings compared to what you lived in Ireland?
The word probably professionalism was something I'd come into. So I think that's for any league you play really on continental Europe, whether it's Germany, Holland, or Belgium, that you're training a lot of time together, a lot of hours together. Players are rewarded financially for being contracted to those clubs. And within Ireland, you have nothing like that whatsoever. We would have had our general basic Tuesday evening training, Thursday evening training, and then your match on the weekend. And that was it. So for me, it was a huge step up when I think that I'm on the pitch now maybe 5, sometimes 6 times a week. So that's excluding any extra sessions you're doing, like Toby mentioned, you know, so whether it's gym sessions or extra small running sessions, you know, that's also something that you have to do on top of the pitch time that you're spending with my club over here. So the biggest thing was getting used to obviously just the life around it of not really having much time for anything else, which is, of course, great as well. You dedicate your life towards a specific reason. And for the last, I can say 7, 8, 9 years now, it's obviously been hockey for myself. So I was delighted to be able to do so, having actually finished up and qualified with a degree in physical education and biology teaching. I tried to combine both when I first came to the Netherlands to teach and to train full time. I had to stop that back in 2015, it was, but really enjoyed my time working in the likes of the International School of Utrecht and other small schools here in the Netherlands. So biggest thing, as I said, for me, the change was the professionalism, and it's something that I still really enjoy, that, you know, you're training together full time as a group and as a squad. And it's something that I'm quite jealous of, when I would like to think what an Irish team could do if we had that amount of time and hours together as a group.
I can imagine. Okay, guys, let me just to switch gears from time to time. We've got another question from the audience on Facebook here. These are the guys from Australia, the Reverse Stick podcast, and they've got a very interesting question. Can we please hear from the guys their top tips for keeping their goalkeeping kit fresh and odor-free? Tobias, what do you do to keep your goalkeeper's kit odor-free?
Actually, after training, I just put everything out of my bag and try to get it dry, though. Then it's fine, huh? It don't start to smell. Sometimes I wash it.
David, you got any special tips?
Well, I like to say mine isn't odor-free, but it really isn't, because it's unavoidable at times. I like to say it's the smell of success and hard work. But sometimes what I try to do, of course, is, yeah, you do hang it out as much as you can. Use the likes of Febreze, all the different sprays that you can imagine, but within one session, again, it just goes back into its old ways. But if there's certain parts of your equipment, of course, that you could wash, that you can sponge down, or that you can place into the washing machine, absolutely do so.
Yeah, well, for me, it is pretty clear. I've only played goalkeeper just once, and the odor of your goalkeeping kit is why I say goalkeepers are crazy. That for me, no doubt about that. David, what are your expectations for the Euro Hockey League that is also ahead of you for this season again with Kampong?
Good question. I think it's nice having the ability to go into the knockout 16, if you like to call it that. So we don't have the round one phase, which we've been through a couple of times before. Last time, I think, was in Banbridge in Northern Ireland, which hosted a fantastic first event. But expectations, again, I think internally we're just going to go quietly about our work. We'll try and hopefully avoid a big name like we usually get at that stage, most likely Rot-Weiss Cologne. Everybody will probably be saying to us, because it's been four the last 5 years. But it's always a phenomenal tournament to be involved in. You know, it's one of my favorite tournaments, certainly, to play in. And last year, having the opportunity to play in the final and the semis in Bloemendaal in front of a large crowd that there was in fantastic weather was really a great kind of environment to be around, when you realize, you know, all the hard work and all the hours and dedication, you get an opportunity to try and go for a big prize like that in such a big stage. It's just unfortunate, of course, that we came up short. But the only thing I will say is that I'm not too happy with, and I can understand it's because of the Pro League and other, obviously, tournaments involved, but the fact that they've kind of condensed it into just the 1 week, I really don't like that. I think it's such an event that you try to obviously create a bit more of a special time and, you know, set certain weekends for it. But unfortunately, that's the way it's going to work out this year.
Yeah. Tobias, I think that you will be happy that the final event is going to be 1 week, because the last time that it was the case, you guys won, I think.
Yes, that's correct. actually, I really like it when it's in 1 week. So you can stay there for quite a long time and prepare perfectly on every match. And yeah, as you said, if it's in 1 week, I won it the last time, so maybe it's going to happen again. I don't know.
Okay, but yeah, what are the ambitions with the Dragons? You also avoid the first round, I think. You don't have to go to Barcelona.
We don't have to go to Barcelona's. Really excited about the draw, who we play against. Maybe it's going to be Kampong, I don't know. as I already mentioned, we got a new team. First of all, we take a look on our league, and EHL is still quite a while to go. And as Davey mentioned, there's also the Hockey Pro League, which makes everything a bit more difficult with the time. And not lots of time to prepare for that. So we will wait till EHL is coming and what we can expect then.
Okay. Guys, yet again, time for another question from the audience. This time we've got Robert van Gebert, who's asking, coming into a new team, how do you adjust your goalkeeping style to the way the team plays? And how do you communicate the way you want to play with your team and coach? Tobias, you're in a new team.
Yeah, I'm in a new team. The style of play is not really different. I knew some guys before I came to Dragons, so it's easy to get integrated into the team, and I think I'm a really open character, so I can do lots of fun with everyone. And on the pitch, we're talking English. We try to get in touch with each other and had a chat before with the whole defense and the goalkeeper. So we worked out how we want to play, what are the ideas of all the international players, because our whole new defense are new players, are foreign players.
Yeah. So, but for the moment, you have to communicate in English with your team as well.
Yes. Yeah. Because also Australian guy is playing in the back, and Austrian guy is playing in the back.
Yeah.
And we need to get in English.
David, do you communicate with your defense in Dutch?
Yeah, at this stage, it will be sometimes some expressions and phrases in Dutch, but when I really need to express myself, it all comes out in English. So that would be the guys like to call it when the helmet comes up, that you know you're going to get a bit of a sprain. So that's usually mostly done in English when I want to get a message across quickly and with a good message behind it. But integrating yourself, yeah, I think it's just to get involved straight away. Toby mentioned, you know, not changing your style or technique as a goalkeeper. You know, all of us are individual and unique, so it shouldn't be a case that you have to change your style just to fit in within the team. Of course, there might be certain things you have to do depending if you're playing a zonal or man-to-man. You know, you might find yourself on the penalty spot as the bottom of a diamond in a zonal press, which I've done before, and you kind of might feel a bit outside your comfort zone, but it's something that you have to do if it's the way that your team is going to play. I think as a keeper, just the best advice would be to just be open and adaptable.
Yeah.
You know, never to say, no, I can't do this or I won't do this. It's always to be what's in the benefit and the best for the group and for the team.
Absolutely. We've got one more from the audience. This is John Bibby asking, how much time in a training session do you spend on goalie-specific drills compared to training with the rest of the team doing drills? David.
I think, well, mostly that I would have the luxury of having specific goalkeeping actual training sessions, so I can just have nothing but myself, another goalkeeper or two, along with my goalkeeper trainer. So for me in the Netherlands here, it's with Martijn Driver and the second goalkeeper at Kampong. And back home in Ireland, it's the other Irish goalkeepers and Nigel Henderson, our goalie coach there. And sometimes goalkeeper sessions can range from 45 minutes to maybe 90 minutes. It all depends what phase of the season you're in. If it's pre-season, if you need to get a bit of a good workout, or if it's in the middle of a tournament and you just need to get some ball contacts and need to get a bit of sharpening, that could be literally a 40-minute session. It's funny because some people, I have a goalkeeper session today actually, and if people were to come down and have a look at the pitch, they must be thinking, right, Hoofdklasse goalkeeping session, Martijn Driver's the goalie trainer, must be really, you know, intense and high energy, which of course it is in parts, where sometimes I'm also just talking to him about my golf swing. You know, you can chat away, you have to have that good bond and relationship from a mental side of thing with your goalie trainer as well, so I think that's always really important.
Yeah. Tobias, what is the way they do it in Germany?
In Germany, I had the luxury to train with our national goalkeeper coach, Jimmy Lewis. He's an English guy, but living in Germany for quite long now. Worked with him for the last 3 years, I think, nearly 4 years. And he is living in Hamburg, so I could train with him every day. And he's also doing during the national camps. And here at Dragons, I train with Dennis van den Poel, so we got special goalkeeper sessions as well, besides team training.
Okay, guys. One more from the audience. Marcus Ridderseter, any tips on how to take the next step in your career if you're from a country where hockey is a very small sport? David.
Is that just directed at me because I'm Irish? Or is it
I think in Germany, hockey is also considered a small sport.
That's true, but they also have Olympic titles to their name, so that might
be... They're not a small hockey nation, that's for sure.
An honest and open answer to that would be simply just go after something that you want to do. You know, I remember spending hours on emails to different clubs throughout the whole class of being like, listen, I would love to join your club. I'd love to come over if you need me even to come over for a practice session or for a trial basis. I was very happy to do that. I really wanted to do everything that I could do to get to a higher level. So I think it's a case of not holding back. If you really want something badly enough, just don't be afraid to go after it.
Yeah. Tobias, your thoughts?
Yeah, actually nothing to add to what Davey said. If you want to improve yourself, you have to do the next step. And if you got the opportunity, even if it's to move on to another city, or if you want to become better, you at some stage you have to do that.
Yeah, I can imagine. To make another switch here, we've talked about your club competition. We talked about EHL. There's this other competition that is not being played this year, the Hockey India League. What are your thoughts about this Hockey India League? Do you like the format? Do you like that it's in the calendar? David, what are your thoughts on those?
I haven't had the experience of four seasons over there. I can honestly say that I really thoroughly enjoyed my time in India. I think any time I've been asked questions or done interviews about it, the first thing I've said is that it is literally something that you can't really begin to describe. You have to actually go through it and experience it for yourself. Some say that when you go to India, it's an attack on your senses, the sounds, the smells, the sights, everything, and it really is. But to play hockey in a country like that, where it's really seen as obviously a national sport as well as cricket, it was really just a really special opportunity that I had in Mumbai for those 4 years. It's a pity, of course, that it's obviously off the calendar at the minute. I would love to see it come back eventually for hockey players, with the amount of hours and how we live, as people might say, as professional sportsmen, to have the opportunity to get the remuneration of, you know, financial rewarding for that amount of time and period in your hockey career is something that might not really happen too much in certain tournaments. So when you have an opportunity like that to go and play with some of the best players in the world, to be broadcast globally around the world, as well as playing in front of some fanatical crowds, I would say that I would love to see it come back, and I certainly enjoyed my time in Mumbai, like I said.
Yeah. Tobias, what are your experiences with India?
I have never played in the India Hockey League, but I would love to, but when I was to apply for it, they stopped it. I've been to India once. It was during the World League 4 in Bhubaneswar.
That was a special tournament, huh?
Yeah, it was a crazy tournament.
That was the tournament where half of your team got sick, and your colleague goalie had to score a goal in the game for the bronze medal, if I remember
correct.
Right.
You're so jealous.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Are you guys, Tobias, you played the goalie in that game. Would you have liked to be the striker in that game?
Actually, no. Because, you know, running around the pitch without a substitute for 60 minutes is horrible.
Especially in India.
He did a really, really good job. And to be honest, this goal he scored is a really, really good goal because of his technique, how he trapped the ball, how he put it in. Really, really good.
Yeah. But David, you were jealous. You would have been in the four lines. You would have been in the striker for that game.
I definitely was jealous of the goal scoring, but as Toby mentioned, I certainly wasn't jealous of all the running around in the weather conditions over in Bhubaneswar like I know it. And chasing after the fit and strong Indians, I'd say it wouldn't have been much fun.
Okay, talking about India, guys, the World Cup is up next as well. How are you preparing, Tobias, that the stuff that happened to your team last time you were in Bhubaneswar is not going to happen again, so that you can play a semi-final or maybe a final with a full team?
Yeah, as I heard at the beginning of the year was that all teams are allowed to go with 20 players to India. So you got two P-accredited players. But yeah, we try also to take care about our health. We got different stuff to do to prepare before the World Cup. And it's going to be interesting if every team is going to be healthy then. You also have to think about maybe taking a cook or a chef or stuff like that. Bring your own food. It also all depends. And I think our hotel, we went there in Bhubaneswar during World League, was really good. We're going to be there at the World Cup as well. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting for the teams.
Absolutely. David, do you fear the Delhi belly from India?
Not really. Sure, you can get Delhi belly if you have some bad food in Europe as well. So it's something that I think is always blown out of proportion. But obviously, given the fact that the World League 4 had such an element of sickness and illness. And when you see, obviously, the depleted German team that had to show up and play for the last game of the tournament, it was clear that there was something not quite right there. I think if you just literally be smart and take the right precautions that you need to, at the end of the day, your health is your wealth, and especially as a sportsman. So whether it's a simple thing of you nonstop have to walk around with a little thing of hand sanitizer in your pocket for those however many days you're in India, then it's just something that you're going to have to do and just be careful.
Yeah, true. Who's going to be the world champion? Tobias.
Of course, everyone wants to be a world champion. We in our team, we didn't talk about our aims during the World Cup, but I think, yeah, as I said, everyone wants to become a world champion. So we try everything to win through the tournament. But if I have to go for a tip, no idea.
No idea.
I would say Germany.
If I look at Germany specifically, the last time we had a World Cup in Holland in 2014, your guys were a little bit surprised in a negative way, where you performed a little bit under your normal value, most likely because the tournament was so close to the regular competition, and there was probably some fatigue with the players. Also, you got some last-minute injuries, obviously. What are you going to do to be fresh at the start of the World Cup in India this year?
First of all, nearly the whole team changed to compare it to 2014. So we got lots of young players. I'm one of the oldest now. But they're all really fit. They all train really hard. And we had a good preparation during the summer break of the league. We went to Japan for 10 days for a camp, played there, Japan and New Zealand. Had a Four Nations tournament against Argentina, France and Ireland. And we didn't play the Champions Trophy, so we were a bit sad about that. But I think we had a good preparation during the summer break. And we start again with camps in October. And then we see how on which way we are.
David, are your expectations for the World Cup? Who do you think is going to be the champion?
Now, I think obviously you can forgive me here, but of course, in an ideal world, I'd like to say Ireland would become World Cup champions for the first time ever.
Hey, your women gave you a good example,
exactly.
Huh?
Emulating the fact that you can see that everything is possible, and what our women achieved was obviously a phenomenal victory in the terms of, you know, defying the world rankings, beating higher ranked opposition, you know, albeit through different scenarios, through shootouts and the likes, but still a fantastic presentation from them. I think in the men's hockey, though, side of things, I think majority of the time world ranking is there for a more of a specific reason, and there is less between the top teams, and it would be quite a big upset if the likes of a number 16 team was to beat a top 10 side or top 5 side in the world. That doesn't necessarily happen in men's hockey, but then again, the World Cup might throw up a few surprises. I think if you look at all the teams that are participating, and now that it's opened up to a 16-team tournament instead of a 12-team tournament, that realistically the way that the groups are set up and the crossovers are fixed, that it could throw up a few different scenarios in the quarterfinals where two massive teams in world hockey might have to face off against one another, and then that's suddenly one team is out. So I at this particular moment in time, having played a lot of the top teams in the world, and sitting in the top 10 with Ireland, I wouldn't be able to say outright who I believe is going to be the world champion.
Okay, guys. We've got another question from the audience here. We've got a question, let me put it on the screen here, from Jason Whitford. What's the first thing you do on game day? Any rituals you carry out, Tobias?
First thing on game day is waking up and having a coffee. That's probably the most important thing on the game day.
Yeah. What are your rituals on the game day? Okay, you play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What is your normal schedule?
I don't mind when I got some rituals when I put on my stuff. For example, I turn or put on the left sock first before the right sock, and I got some habits. After the huddle on the pitch, I clap on my glove, on my pads, and twice on the crossbar. Then with my glove, it's really weird, but I believe in that. So, I'm keeping up with that.
David, what are your rituals on game day?
As most people probably know me, I'm quite a big eater. So what usually wakes me up in the morning is hunger. So I go and in search of some food. So wouldn't be a coffee first thing, but just literally getting food into the body, fuel for the upcoming match or training session. Rituals-wise, I might say that I don't have any rituals, but then again, if I had looked into things deeper, then I might have certain ways that I like to have, take whether it's power gels at the right moment just before heading out to the pitch and one at halftime, or the consumption of food and bananas at a particular time. But in terms of equipment or this or that, not necessarily in the huddle before the game at club. I know that there's always the likes of two players that always are sat next to me, and literally one is always behind me, and that's Robert Kemperman and Sander Devine. I think that's also just out of habit and being together now for 7 years in the team. But other than that, I don't hit the post or anything like that, or I don't do a certain stretch, or I don't do this or that. But again, if people were watching maybe closer, they might be able to tell me differently.
Yeah, can imagine. Guys, one of my own questions is always, why do these goalies like these really bright fluo colored shirts? You wear really pink, you wear really yellow, you wear...
we got these shirts 2 years ago. They just gave it to us, and we were like, in the first moment, we were like, oh, really? Pink? Do we need to wear pink? But then we played the first time in it, and the next time we played in this orange, and we're like, ah, the pink is much more beautiful. Huh? So we stay with that, and we really, really like it. And it's really bright, so when the striker enters the circle, the first thing he's seeing is it's a pink shirt.
So he aims for the pink shirt.
Bigger than he actually is.
David, what are your color of shirts?
Mine are a bit more bland here at club. I have black or sky blue. And even for the sky blue, I get dog's abuse from my fellow teammates. They call it baby blue. So I'm not sure how pink would go down over here. But most of the time, if I had an option of a colored shirt, I like to wear red. Just purely, I think it's the first color that the eye picks up. And as Toby mentioned, it is one of the first things that makes you also look bigger in the goal when a striker comes in.
Okay. Guys, next big thing around the corner is going to be a really new tournament with the Hockey Pro League. What are your thoughts about the Hockey Pro League, Tobias?
I think it's a really good opportunity to make hockey bigger or do proper events out of that, like they do in football with their World Cup or Euro qualification. But it's also really stressful. I think it's going to be really hard. Our first part of the Pro League will be Australia, New Zealand, Argentina away games. So we will be on journey for 1 month. But I'm really excited to go there because it's a real nice to travel through these countries and play big games, and yeah, after 1 year we will see if it was a good idea or not, but we will continue that for the next 4 years, I think.
Yeah. David, yeah. You're not in it. Is that hurting, right? or would you like to be in it, or what are your thoughts on the Hockey Pro League?
I would like to say honestly that it was pretty disappointing when we found out that we weren't involved, and I think a reason behind it was that we didn't have a good enough or large enough facility to host an event in Ireland. Although I didn't really agree with that excuse, given the fact that it was 2 years ago when the announcement was made almost, and it doesn't start until 2019. So you have the opportunity to build and develop one. The fact that Pakistan are playing their matches out of Scotland also I find a bit strange. But for the rest of it, I think obviously the Pro League idea to try and create hockey on a bigger scale and on a world level and creating the superstars behind it is, of course, very good idea from the FIH, but it's whether or not that the governing bodies of hockey in those countries participating are able going to sustain it financially. And also my side of things that I would worry about most is player welfare. I think Toby mentioned his journey and his travel, and I know what it's like to do those long journeys and then to be asked to perform at the highest level. You go to those countries, you're not allowed to practice against the opposition that you're playing against, where you would do mostly when you go on training excursions. So for me, there's a lot of different question marks that are still up there in the atmosphere right now about it. But again, hopefully it will be fantastic. Anything that can help grow and develop our sport is always good. But I'm a little bit jealous of missing out.
I can imagine. Okay, guys, I've got one final question before we wrap up things here. My favorite proposed, or one of my favorite proposed rule changes will be that games do not have a draw anymore in whatever tournament, if it's competition locally or the big events. So there is always got to be a winner. But then what would be your favorite ending to a game? Would you prefer the golden goal? Would you prefer the shootouts or the old-fashioned penalty strokes, Tobias?
I think I prefer the penalty shootouts because I think as a goalkeeper, you got a much bigger chance to save a ball than to compare it to a stroke. I don't like the golden goal. So at penalty shootouts, you if you prepare well, you've got a really big opportunity to win the game. So I think it's easier.
David?
100% penalty shootouts.
100% penalty shootouts. Yeah. One of the best inventions for goalies?
I think so, but I think also maybe for perhaps the audience and people watching, it really does add a bit of excitement and, you know, different skills on show, whether it's from a goalkeeping side of thing or strikers. I think some of the possibly most watched video clips on social media channels these days are of shootouts. And there's obviously a direct correlation between why there's so much people watching this and, of course, the skill and execution that comes behind it. So for goalkeepers, as Toby mentioned, you do get an awful lot more of an opportunity to be involved rather than just the ball being pushed at you from 7 meters out in the old-fashioned penalty strokes.
Okay. Guys, I want to thank you very much. We've gone a little bit over our time, so would like to wrap things up here. This was a first experiment, and I loved talking to a couple of crazy goalies. I want to wish you the best of success with your teams, and maybe that we'll see each other at the pitches one of these days. Guys, thank you, and bye-bye.
Thanks, Ernst. See you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Studio Hockey. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And as always, enjoy your hockey. Bye-bye.